Holy Spirit that is poured out all over the world. The Spirit of God is moving, and we're so glad for that. We want you to experience it as well, and we also want to experience that presence of God. There's nothing like it. The Holy Spirit in our lives is wonderful. Today, before I begin the message, and I would like to just invite the presence of God to just minister through me. I'm only a vessel. I feel unworthy to even share the things that God has for us, but I'm going to share what God has laid on my heart, and I pray that you will receive it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. We thank you that you are here with us. I pray, oh God, for your presence to just invade each of our lives. Change us, oh God, into the people that you want us to be. Use us for your glory. I pray that you will anoint us to receive your word, to understand, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've titled this message today, God is Faithful to His Promise. He is faithful. I think of Joseph as an example, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. Joseph was an example of God's faithfulness to His promise. He is an example for each of us to remember how God has a purpose for our lives. He has a purpose. You're not here by accident. There are some people today, I'm just torn in my spirit to hear so many cases of suicide where people are saying, I don't have any purpose for my life. I don't want to live anymore. God has a purpose, but Satan would like to deceive and say, there is no purpose. You are worthless. You have no value. But I'm telling you, God has a purpose. Even when we go through difficult times, there's a purpose for it all. Amen. No matter how difficult life may be, God still has a purpose. God never forgets His promises and always fulfills His word if we will only trust Him and acknowledge Him. Let Him be the Lord of our lives. We don't try to do it on our own. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, I think this is Brother Richie's favorite scripture. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and do not lean to your own understanding. Because we do not understand the things that happen in our lives many times. In all thy ways acknowledge him, he says, and he shall direct thy paths. He didn't say he might, or maybe he will. He said, if you trust in him and in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. In Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, verse 11, he said, the Lord said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Some of us don't recognize that when things come against us, that God still is in charge and He still has a plan and a future for us. When you don't know what the future holds, you can hold on to the vision that God has given you. If He hasn't given you a vision, then say, Lord, show me what is your plan for my life. Just like Joseph did. Remember Joseph, we'll go into that. It's important to guard the dreams and visions God has given you because the devil would like to sap them from you. He'd like to say, oh, there's nothing to that. God doesn't care about you and nobody cares about you. I'm telling you that's a lie. He's a liar from the beginning. And he wants to protect us from bitterness and to depend on God regardless of the circumstances in life. And so I look at the story of Joseph, and I'm going to go through that, and I'm going to tell the whole story. We're going to talk about that and look at how it applies to our lives today and what the parallels to even as what Jesus did for us. In the 37th chapter, it says that Israel or Jacob loved Joseph more than any other of his children because he'd been born to him in his old age. And he made a special robe for him when his brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them. They hated him. They had resentment. Sometimes when God blesses you, people say, that's not fair. We don't like the favoritism. But God has favorites. And guess who they are? They're you and me and everybody. He has a plan. You are his favorite. You are the apple of his eye. And so the brothers couldn't speak kindness to him. Well, Joseph had a dream. You remember that, how he had a dream? And he said to them, he told his dream. Now, sometimes maybe we need to keep things in our hearts. But Joseph didn't do that. And he told the dream to his brothers. And he said, listen to this. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. You know, your sheaf bowed to me. Well, his brother says, you think you're going to reign over us? You see, they knew what it meant, but they didn't want to accept that. And so because of what his dream was, because he told them, they hated him the more. And then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, he said, listen, I had another dream. And remember, he's younger than these other boys. And they think, what he's just a little kid. We don't listen to this. And so he said, so they said, okay, so what's your dream? He said, and he said about the stars were bowing down, the moon and the sun were bowing down to him. And they recognized that also meant he was going to be bowed down to. And they said, and so they... He told his father, and his father kind of rebuked him. He said, will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous, but his father kept the matter in his mind. Joseph was sold by his brothers. They were so jealous, and so when he went, they had gone to graze the flocks His father sent Joseph out to check on them, and he went out, and when he found them, he checked to see if everything was well. And when they saw him coming, they said, well, here comes that dreamer. Let's get rid of him. And so let's just kill him. And then they decided, Reuben said, don't do that. Just put him in this cistern, this dry cistern. And so they put him down in this cistern. And when Reuben went back to find him, he was not there because, you see, the Midianites had come and they sold Joseph to them as a slave. And Reuben said, where is he? And they said, oh, he's not there. We need to do something about it. We sold him. And so they... decided that they'd have to do something to make appease his father because his father loved him so much. So they took the coat, that they kept the coat that his father had given him, and they killed a goat, and they dipped it in blood and took it to the father and said, and they went back and he said, is this your son's coat? And he recognized it, and he said, it is my son's robe. And he said, an animal has devoured him. You see, he believed the report. Sometimes we need to defy and not believe every report that we receive. And he said, Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. And then Jacob tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. So his father wept for him. Can you imagine living a life where you cannot get over the grief? It takes you down, doesn't it? It's terrible. And so the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. And it says in the 39th chapter, it says that the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. You say, well, how can you call it prosperity when he's gone through this? His brothers hated him, threw them in the pit, and then they sold him, and now he's in a foreign land. And remember, he cannot speak the language. He's there. He has to learn the language. Joseph was 17 years old when they sold him. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, you see, in spite of the things that come against us, if we have the attitude that Joseph had, then God can use it and it will be evidence that we have the favor of God in our lives. But if we grumble and complain, say, I didn't deserve this, and we gripe about it, then we have not shown the glory of God. And so Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household. He entrusted him to his care in everything he owned. And so the only thing, it says the blessing of the Lord was on everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. Why? Because Joseph was in charge of it, and Joseph honored God. When I read the scripture, trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all your ways. That is the key. We must acknowledge him, trust in him, and acknowledge his lordship. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. And he didn't concern himself with it at all. Joseph was not a bad-looking guy. It says that he was handsome and well-built, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph's and said, come to bed with me. She said, come on, you know, and she began to entice him over and over again. But he refused. And he said, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he's entrusted to my care. The only thing that he has withheld from me is his wife. And he said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? That is the key. Sometimes we think, well, I don't want to do something that somebody will see, or I'm going to offend a person. Can I sin against God? Joseph's concern was, I do not want to sin against God. Even though he'd gone through these things, and he could have blamed God. Sometimes people do that. They say, well, if God were with me, he wouldn't have allowed this. It's all God's fault. But Joseph didn't do that. And so day after day, he refused her enticing attempts to entice him. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. And, of course, we know the story. You know how that she said, lie with me. And when she saw that, he did not wait to explain to her anything. He fled from her. And when he did, the cloak he left behind and ran out of the house. And she kept that cloak. And she said, can you imagine any woman being so wicked? But she was, and there are women like that. We read in Proverbs that sometimes people are deceived because of their lack of trust in God and acknowledging him as Lord. And so she said to the servants, look, she said, this Hebrew, and of course a Hebrew was looked down on because these were Egyptians, and they did not associate with Hebrews. But here Joseph is in the house there. He's in charge of everything. She said, this Hebrew that was trusted, look what he has done. He's tried to sexually assault me, and I grabbed his cloak. When his master heard the story that his wife told him, she said, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. He believed a report that he hadn't checked out. He just believed it from this. And so he had him put in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. Their prison was not just a prison like we would say today. It was a dungeon. It was a torture chamber, so to speak. It was terrible. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. Even in that situation, again, he could have been bitter, but the Lord was with him because he still honored God. He still was in touch with his Maker. He showed man in charge of the prison showed him kindness and granted him favor, and he made the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison. And so he didn't have to attend anything. Joseph did it all because he was responsible. And when you have the attitude, and people in the world can begin to trust you and know that you will do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, you will be, they'll see it and they'll notice it. And if it's something they need, that they need somebody responsible, they'll call you. And so the warden didn't attend to anything. We remember in that David in the Psalms wrote, in the 105th chapter, he remembers his covenant forever, he writes about God. He does. The promise he made for 1,000 generations. The covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, he confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, he says, and to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Now, Jacob became Israel, renamed. So it was an everlasting covenant. And he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. He sent them before the others. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons, he says in Psalm, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true, because he interpreted dreams. And the king sent and released him. The ruler of people set him free. He made him master of his household, ruler over all he possessed. This is in the Psalms. Well, in Genesis, the 40th chapter, we read how that Pharaoh was angry with his two officials. After Joseph was in prison, there were two more that got thrown in prison, and the cupbearer and the baker. And they were there, and Joseph asked them one day when they'd been there for a while, and he said, why is your countenance so down? Why are you so discouraged? I mean, after all, Joseph was through a lot of stuff, and he evidently didn't wear that kind of a countenance. He had a countenance that reflected God. And so he said, what's wrong? And so they said, well, we had a dream, and each dream had its different dreams. And Joseph came the next morning. He saw they were dejected. He said, is there's no one to interpret them? And Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Give me your dreams. Tell me about it. And so they told him. The cupbearer told Joseph his dream. And according to his dream, he was going to be released and he was going to be brought back and serve the king, the Pharaoh. And so after he heard that, after the baker heard that, he thought, well, he had a good interpretation. So Joseph interpreted his dream, and of course it was different. It was not good. He was going to be killed. And he said in 3 days, he said that you're going to be lifted up, your head's going to be taken off. The birds are going to eat you. And so that wasn't, but anyway, When Joseph interpreted the dream for the baker, he said to the baker, remember me when you are released. Don't forget, remember. But he did like most of us do whenever we get our freedom and we don't remember those things. He didn't remember. 2 years passed, and Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing, he said, I'm standing by the Nile, and there were 7 cows that were slick, fat, and they grazed, and then there were ugly and gaunt and skinny cows that came and ate up the fat ones, and he was concerned. And then he had a dream again, and there were heads of grain, healthy and good and growing, and they were fat, and the skinny ones that came and ate them up. And he said, I don't understand, and he was so concerned about it, but God had a plan. And so chief cupbearer, all of a sudden, he said, today I'm reminded of my shortcomings. I remember how I failed. He said there was a guy, and he told him about Joseph, how he interpreted the dreams, and they came to pass. It's interesting that 2 years went by that he never even thought about it. And so he came, Pharaoh called for him, but I want you to know that Joseph quickly was brought. But he shaved and changed his clothes. He cleaned up before he came before Pharaoh. And so then when Pharaoh said, I've heard of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. But Joseph did not take the credit and the glory. And he said, I can't do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desired. And so he told Pharaoh how that the 7 years of famine, plenty would come. And then 7 years of famine. And he said, and he told him what he should do. Pharaoh said, well, what should I do? He said, well, you need to find somebody who is wise, who knows how to handle it, who can put away a percentage of the abundance. And so Pharaoh said, how do I find a discerning and wise man? And he said, over the land, and he was to save back a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the years of abundance, a fifth of it. And so he said it seemed the plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to his officials. And Pharaoh said, well, since God has made this known to you, I cannot think of anyone who's more capable and wise than you. And so he put Joseph in charge of that task. And he was to organize and orchestrate it. And he had no problem at all doing that. And so Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt. In other words, you are really in command right under me. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. He was doing the job. But God had a plan, purpose, just like God had a plan when he sent Jesus for us. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, go to Joseph. When they said, we don't have, when the famine came, the people cried to Pharaoh. He said, don't come to me, go to Joseph. And Joseph handled it, and he rationed out the food. We needed Joseph today, don't we? Because the famine was severe everywhere, not just there in Egypt, but everywhere. And when Jacob learned, he was in Canaan. And we in the 42nd chapter talks about when he learned there was grain in Egypt. You see, they were suffering from famine as well because God had that plan. And he said to his sons, he said, go down and buy some for us so that we may live and not die. And so the 10 of Joseph's brothers went down. You notice there were 10 because he did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Joseph was governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all its people. When Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. How do you think he felt? I'm sure he remembered the dream because the Bible says as soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. I don't think it was because he wanted to be harsh. He did not want to show who he was. You see, he used an interpreter. He did not speak their language, they thought. And he said, where do you come from? And then they told him where we come from, and he began to question them. And he said, you're spies. You came in, didn't you? Because, you see, he wanted to interrogate them. He wanted to know about his father. He wanted to know about his brother. And so he began to question them. And Joseph said, no, it's just like I said, you're spies. And he put them all in custody for 3 days. He held them. And, he's really going to make sure that they're held. And on the third day, Joseph said to them, do this and you'll live, for I fear God. If you're honest men, let one of your brothers stay here in prison while the rest of you go and take grain back for your starving households. But you must bring your youngest brother to me so that your words may be verified. If you don't bring him, I'm not going to believe what you said. You're going to be considered spies. But, of course, Joseph had a plan. And so they said, the brothers, he heard them talking, and they said, yeah, we're being punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, and we ignored it. We wouldn't listen. That's why this has come on us. And Reuben, they argued back and forth, and Reuben said, didn't I tell you don't do that? And Joseph turned away from them. He began to weep, to cry. But then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. He had to appear to be rough. He couldn't show his identity. And he gave orders to fill their bags with grain, to put each man's silver back in his sack. He said the money they paid for the grain, he told the attendants, put it back in the sacks. And so this was done, and they loaded the grain and left. And the place they stopped for the night, one of them opened his sack and got feed for his donkey, and he saw the silver in the mouth of the bag. My silver has been returned, he said to his brothers. Here it is in my sack. Their hearts sank, and they turned to each other trembling and said, what is this that God has done to us? When they came, went ahead home, they came to their father Jacob. They told him, and told him that it wasn't just in his bag, but they all had it in their bags. He said, "We're honest men." We told him, "We're not spies." And then they said, "But he told us that this is how y'all know whether you're honest. Leave one of your brothers." And so we left him. And he said, "We have to bring Benjamin back." So whenever the time came, and they were out of food, and they had to go again. I mean, they were terrified, and Jacob was even more terrified. And he said, "No, you're not going to take Benjamin." He said, "You cannot. I lost the one, and I will not lose," he said. And so Reuben said, "You can put both of my sons to death if I do not bring him back to you." Boy, they're stepping out on the line. "I'll give my sons if I don't return with your son." And so the famine was still severe, and they finally came down to the point where they had to go and get grain. And so Judah said to his father, he said, "Send the boy with me and we'll go. If you don't send him, I'm not going to go. We can starve to death. I won't go." And so he finally surrendered, and Judah said, "I will give my life, and if anything happens to him." And so he let him go. And they took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver, and Benjamin also, and they hurried to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, "Take these men to my house, slaughter an animal, and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon." And now they did not hear what he was saying. He spoke through an interpreter, remember. And so he took, when they, and the man did as Joseph told him. He took them into Joseph's house, and they were scared. They were afraid, and they thought, "We are in big trouble." And so they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they'd heard they were to eat there. And so then Joseph came to the house, and they presented to him the gifts they had brought into the house. They brought spices and things that they had, everything of value that they could think of, they brought. And Joseph asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father you told me about?" Now, why would he be interested in that father? Because it was his father that he loved so dearly. "Is he still living?" And they said, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. Don't you know he remembered the dream over and over again as they did that? But he said nothing. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He was so moved, but he had to run out away from their presence. He went into his private room and wept in there. After he'd washed his face and came out, he controlled himself and said, "Serve the food." It was interesting that they were seated in the order of their ages, firstborn to the youngest, and they thought it was so unusual. How would he know how to seat them? But he knew, because he knew who they were. They feasted and drank with him. And then we go on, and Joseph gave instructions to the steward of his house. He said, "Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's, they're going to go away now." And he said, put all their silver back in their sack. And then he said, "And then the silver cup, the one that I have, put that in the youngest one's sack." And he did. And as morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with their donkeys. And so after they'd gone a little ways, Joseph said, "Go and find them and see which one has that silver cup and stop them." So they did. And when he caught up with them, he repeated his words to them. But they said to him, "Why does my Lord say such things?" He said, "We would never do anything like that, never." And they made a real bold statement or venture. They said, "If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die. the rest of us will become my Lord's slaves. We'll be your slaves and he'll die. But they didn't know that Joseph had planned it like that. And he had had it in Benjamin's bag. Very well, he said, let it be as you say. And so, of course, when they lowered the sack and they finally, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack after they'd gone through all of them, and it was in Benjamin's sack. And they tore their clothes, they loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. They came back. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him, bowing down again and again before him. Joseph said, "What is this you've done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things out? I can see. I know." And they said, "What can I say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt." Now they begin to repent before Joseph. They said, "We are now my Lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup." But Joseph said, "Be it far from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave, only Benjamin. And so the rest of you go back to your father in peace." And then Judah went to him and he said, "Don't be angry with me," but he said, "If we go back without him," he said, "his father will die if we do not bring him back." And so he said, "He will die. We cannot go back without him." And so they rehearsed what our father had said to us, they said. And he said, "If we go back without him, our father will die. He'll go to the grave in sorrow." And so he said, "Please let me remain here," Judah said, "as your slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers." And so we read on, and Joseph could no longer control himself. Can you imagine having to keep your composure through all of this, wanting to use bursting inside, and just with joy and yet with overwhelming ecstasy, just knowing that he had been reunited with them. And so he said before all his attendants, he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence," he said. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers, and he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" Can you imagine what they felt like? How they felt all of a sudden, this man that they had done so dirty, had been so horrible to, just a young boy. And he said, "Don't be distressed," Joseph said, "and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Joseph saw that God had a purpose and a plan through all of the stuff. He could have been bitter. He could have said, "You deserve death," and they could have gotten it. But he didn't do that. He said, "For 2 years now there has been famine in the land. For the next 5 years there's going to be no plowing and reaping." But he said, "God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." And so, "It was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh," and he tells him. Now he says, "Hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what Joseph says." And they had to go back. He said, "Tell them that I want him to come here. Don't delay." And he said, "Well, I'm going to send..." Pharaoh said, "I'll send carts. I'll send food and everything they need for relocate." He said, "You can come." And so they came and brought the news to Jacob. And he said, "Don't even tell me this. I cannot believe it. How could this be true? My son was dead, and now he is alive." And the sons, Joseph... said, "Look at the cart." He gave them the carts, and they said, "Look at what he has sent, all of this." And so Jacob was finally convinced, and he said, "Okay." And, of course, that's how Israel got to Egypt. We say that, and, of course, we know that God had a purpose to get them out, too. And so they went out of Egypt and came to their father, Jacob, in Canaan, and they told him, and he said, I am convinced. Jacob said, now by this I'm convinced my son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. God will use every aspect of our lives, even the things that don't seem to fit, to bring about his plan. When we think we're going through something that we cannot hold up, God still has a plan. During his time in Egypt, Joseph was arrested for a crime he didn't commit. Not only was he sold into slavery, but he was falsely accused and found him, went to prison. Nothing seemed to be working out for him, or so he thought. Sometimes things happen in our lives that seem out of place, and we find ourselves thinking, how could God possibly use this circumstance or situation for my life, for a purpose? But the events of Joseph's life were no accident. God had had him right where he needed him to be to fulfill his destiny. And even if you find yourself in what seems to be like a prison, don't lose hope in God's promises. He has a purpose and a plan. What do you suppose was going through his head during all of this? Do you wonder if he ever lost hope? Did he feel forgotten by God? We remember how John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of Jesus. And when he was in prison, he says, go and ask him, are you the one that we look for, or do we look for another? Because it's difficult when you go through those times of trial. And even John said, I need to know. And Jesus said, go back and tell him that what you see, the blind see, receive their sight, the deaf ears hear. And so they went back. But Joseph's imprisonment would ultimately shape his life as well as the lives of the entire nation of Israel, not only of Israel, but of us today. The whole world was changed because of his sacrifice and what God did through Joseph. God remained with Joseph in that prison. He gave him favor, and he actually was in charge. Joseph's master took him and put him in jail where the prisoners were confined. But because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Forgiveness is always a part of God's plan. Joseph could have chosen not to forgive, but he forgave. I mean, they did him terrible. By the time Joseph encountered his brothers once again, he was second in command of Egypt, and they didn't recognize him. Joseph's dreams became a reality when his brothers did indeed bow down to him in respect. Joseph recognized that it was God's plan to save his people. Joseph chose forgiveness, just as Jesus chose to forgive those who had sinned against him. As he said, as he hung on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We have betrayed Jesus. We have turned against him because of our sin. And yet he said, forgive them. The life of Joseph demonstrates God's ability to transform sorrow into joy and to breathe life into a dead situation that seems to be dead. Joseph did what was pleasing to God regardless of the consequences. He did not say, well, I'm in a situation that I can't help myself, but he said, I will please the Lord. How can I must please God. When he said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That was his concern. I think many times our young people and even older people, it's not whether or not I'm sinning against God. Am I going to get caught? Can I get by with it? Will anyone know? But Joseph didn't feel that way. He said, how can I do this? I cannot sin against God. Joseph knew that sinning against Potiphar was wrong, but that it was even worse to commit the sin because it was offensive to God. And so Joseph obeyed, and he was thrown in jail, but God used it. God took care of him and loved him because he obeyed him, just like he did with Joseph. He will do for us. Forgiveness should always be extended, even years after the injury. I think there are some people today who are calling themselves Christians, and yet they have bitterness and unforgiveness because somebody has done them wrong. We need to do like Joseph did. We need to let it go and recognize that God has forgiven and we must forgive. He says, Father, when we prayed the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, forgive us our trespasses, even as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we cannot forgive others, then can God forgive us? We block it. We put a block there. And I think many people suffer physical ailments due to unforgiveness. I'm not saying all of them are as a result of that. Joseph was a foreshadow of the undeserved grace that Jesus brought to us. We didn't deserve it, just like Joseph's brothers. Joseph did not hold a grudge. It is a great example for believers today who may be struggling with the need to forgive. In the storms of life, in the darkest moments, we must cling to God's promises, knowing His sovereign plan involves the valley of the shadow of death. Even if it goes through there, as David said in Psalm 23, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And he goes on to say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was for correction. We don't like correction, but sometimes we have to have that. God is with his children. And so just like he was with Joseph, it can seem like living up to the life of Joseph is impossible. But God calls us all to different destinations. While most people will not be the leaders of great countries or mighty empires, God has called us to our own place where he wants us to be. The declaration made by Joseph to his brothers, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. We could say that some things that seem like they're bad, but that God means them for good. It is true of the whole human history. What mankind intends for evil, the Lord intends for good. Whatever comes against us, when we are trusting God, it is for our good, and he will bring us through. Joseph and the wife that Pharaoh gave him had two sons while he was born during the 7 years of plenty. And before Jacob's death, he gave Joseph a gift. Jacob did. His children would be the only ones from among Jacob's grandsons to be treated as independent tribes. They represented Joseph, so it was divided. They got their inheritance, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they inherited individual portions of the land. I think that's interesting. He was rewarded. That was a great honor for Joseph to know that his sons were honored like that. Joseph ruled Egypt for a total of 80 years until his death at 110. But before his passing, he made his brothers promise to take his coffin along with them when they would eventually leave Egypt for the promised land. I'm going to tell you what. One day, I'm going to leave that old death behind and I'm going to a promised land. Just as Joseph said, I won't be here, but I'll be in the presence of the Lord. Joseph recognized that all he had gone through was ordained by God to ensure the survival of Egypt and all of the surrounding countries. Amen. Never forget, God will be with you in everything you go through because he has a plan that you may not know. Only trust him. Acknowledge him as Lord. That is the key. And then we can receive the promise that God has made for us. I want to thank you for joining us today at Living Waters Community Church. But if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have not forgiven those who have sinned against you, I encourage you today to forgive as Jesus instructed us to do. He wants to be the Lord of your life, and he wants everything that happens in your life. He has a plan and a purpose. Just trust him, acknowledge him as Lord. I'm not saying you're to lie down and just let the enemy trample on you. No, but God, if you trust in him, he will give you the strength, and he will give you the courage and the wisdom to know how to defeat the enemy. Thank you. Today I'm going to pray if you would like to accept Christ. I pray that you will accept Jesus as Lord of your life while I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. I know that your Holy Spirit is moving in all the earth today. We see the negative, the bad things, but there is a wonderful presence of your Holy Spirit that is desiring to make a home in our hearts. I pray that those who are watching, if they have not become your servants, if they have not given you Lord, made you Lord of their lives, that will be what their decision is today. I pray in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. May the Lord bless you and give you a marvelous week as you know that God has a plan for your life. And it is not a bad one. It's to give you a hope and a future. Have a blessed week. That little button says... If I could reach it, I would turn it off. But I don't think I can reach it over there. I trust that you are acknowledging living in the glorious presence of God. We have so much to be thankful for. I know that God is moving my spirit in this world. Yes, I heard about the revival going on at Lee University. And I'm so glad to hear about it. The presence of God is wonderful. Nothing is better. Nothing can be more precious than to have the outpouring of the Spirit of God come upon us. Amen. Is there anything that anybody needs to add? Anything that we need to pray about? I ask you to pray for Joshua. He's got to get in the pressure at work. You know, they are... trying to promote him, and then in order for him to start on Monday, they said you have to finish the job today. And I'm not happy about that, but you pray for him that he'll make the right decisions. And if there's anything else that somebody